We are the Cable Guys, and we are from France. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. We're leading this morning with a large estimated price tag for a possible merger between two big companies of which you may never have heard. Altice of France just announced it wants to buy a big cable TV company in the U.S. called Suddenlink for about $10 billion. A French billionaire named Patrick Drahi controls Altice, which became publicly traded early last year. Suddenlink used to be called Seabridge Connections and is a big provider of cable TV in Arkansas, Texas, and Louisiana. The BBC's Karen Hagen is looking into this story. Karen, good morning.
Morning, David. Nice to talk to you.
Yes. What do we know about this French company, Altice?
The European cable market is really still very fragmented. So actually, here in Britain, for example, not many people have heard of Altice. What we do know is that Altice was set up 20 years ago. It was a very, very small operation. What happened was that Patrick Drahi, the owner, he started selling subscriptions, cable subscriptions, door to door. Now, though, like over the last couple of years, it has really taken off and it's been doing a lot of deals. In fact, last year alone, it did $31 billion worth of deals.
And in fact, this French businessman has also really taken off. Patrick Drahi is now a billionaire. But why might Altice be interested in Suddenlink from the southern United States?
Well, bottom line here is that the US is one of the fastest and biggest growing communications markets in the world. And additionally, cable companies like Altice are coming under huge pressure because more and more people are watching TV programs online. They're seeing their kind of traditional income stream being hit, and therefore they need to expand and diversify. And that's what they're doing in the States, diversifying, growing their business, giving themselves other opportunities.
Following the story for us from London, the BBC's Karen Hagen. Karen, thank you.
You're very welcome.
And Altice may not stop at Suddenlink. The Wall Street Journal is reporting the French company is also interested in buying America's number two cable company, Time Warner Cable, now that TWC's merger with Comcast has been called off amid antitrust concerns. Some 7 million Americans have defaulted on student loans in recent years with an average debt of about $14,000. Now there's a push to make colleges chip in to cover some of that debt. Perhaps then the colleges would have more of an incentive to ensure students don't end up with unsustainable loans. That's the topic at a Senate hearing today. Nova Safo reports.
Corey Seward is in his fourth year at Indiana University, and he's in debt.
Probably over $20,000, I'd imagine. The money is the only thing I really worry about. I don't worry about classes or grades.
His mom, Julie Watkins, is worried, too, about after graduation.
That's what I worry about, is how high his monthly payment's going to be.
The idea at today's hearing is to have colleges worry, too, says Ben Miller. He studies education policy at the Center for American Progress.
You want people to care about the debt beyond the day after they issue it and to make colleges somewhat financially responsible.
To do that, the Senate is considering whether colleges should pay back the federal government a portion of any defaulted debt. What portion is still up for debate? Pauline Abernathy of the Institute for College Access and Success supports the idea, but she says there are risks.
We don't want to provide any disincentive for schools to enroll low-income students who may, in some cases, have a higher risk of default.
The idea has bipartisan support, Abernathy says, but lots of details still have to be ironed out. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
Let's check the numbers. The FTSE 100 in London is up less than a tenth of a percent, with details of the Federal Reserve's last economic and interest rate discussion on the way later today. The 10-year Treasury yield is down 1/32nd to 2.27%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up, but not by much. We sometimes ask musicians about the instruments they choose, but what about everyone else? We've started a series on the Marketplace Morning Report called Pro Tool, featuring people with strong opinions about the tools they use in their work. Last week, it was Lauren the hairstylist with her $1,000 pair of Japanese scissors. This morning, the writer, J. Robert Lennon, on not his pen, but his favorite paper.
The Seven Seas Writer Journal. It's a notebook made by Nanami Paper, and it's made with this amazing Japanese paper called Tomoe River paper. It's very thin and sort of glassy, and if you like to write with a fountain pen, which I often do, it's the perfect surface.
And the ink doesn't bead up as if it's waxy or something.
When you get to the end of a page, you have to pause for about 20 seconds before you turn the page if you don't want it to leak onto the next one. You can see it through from the other side, but there's no bleed through of ink. And it has, for the past year and a half, I'd say, been my go-to notebook for creative writing projects.
As we're talking, I went to the website and they're sold out of the current generation of those notebooks.
Oh, yeah?
They're waiting on the third generation. Apparently other people have
Probably because I've got half a dozen hoarded in my office.
Are they expensive?
And just in case. Yeah, they're like $30. But they last a really, really long time because there's 480 pages in it. It has a kind of satisfying, crinkly heft to it after you've filled most of it up. You have a real tactile sense of how much writing you've done, and it feels good.
But if we step back, I mean, you're writing these enormous manuscripts by hand. I mean, you're not sitting there with a laptop?
I do, of course, have a laptop, and I do most of my second, third, fourth, et cetera, drafts on a laptop. This is sort of a first draft thing, and I'm discovering that it's kind of freeing not to see the text printed and looking like a book. Sort of makes me feel that I can be bad at it for the first draft. Maybe in an ideal circumstance, the technology you're using to write something disappears and you're just transferring your thoughts to the page. But in reality, I'm finding that I enjoy the aesthetic experience of writing more than I ever did before computers.
J. Robert Lennon teaches writing at Cornell University. His latest work is a collection of stories, See You in Paradise, published by Gray Wolf Press. John, thank you.
Thanks a lot.
What's the tool to have in your line of work? Tweet us at Marketplace. It is the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.